Welcome to the latest episode of the Edgar Rice Burroughs mini podcast. These short podcasts are meant to supplement the full-length episodes that I do with Scott Stewart and Jess Terrell, in which we generally talk about one of Edgar Rice Burroughs' books in detail. My name is Tim DeForest. I'm the author of several books about what I call pre-digital pop culture, things like the pulp magazines that Burroughs was published in, old-time radio, classic comic books, old B-movies, and so on. And I keep a blog about such things at comics, old-time radio, and other cool stuff. Right now, we are using the mini-podcast to do a chapter-by-chapter analysis of the 1912 novel, A Princess of Mars. Today, we'll be talking about chapters 11 and 12 of that novel. Please note that I will be including spoilers both for this book and sometimes for later books in the series. And I do recommend that you reread these chapters before listening to the podcast, as I am assuming that you are familiar with the events we are discussing. Now, John Carter and Dasia Thoris spend a chapter getting to know each other, with Dasia finding out her protector is from Earth, and John Carter learning more about Martian history and learning that the Red Men have an advanced and literate culture. With this, the bulk of the world building is done. We now know a lot about the Tharks and about the Red Martians and have been given a decent overview of the history of Barsoom. The world building will never be complete. John Carter's upcoming imprisonment by the Warhoons will give us more details about the Green Martians, and his stay in Zodanga will show him a bit more about the Red Martian culture. But the bulk of what we need to know has been expertly doled out to us, with the exposition punctuated by bits of action to keep the pace of the novel moving swiftly. In Chapter 11, we get a foreshadowing of things to come, when John Carter, Dasia, and Sola realizing that Sarkozha, the cruel female Thark, has been listening in on them. And that chapter ends with a bit of a cliffhanger, as John Carter is summoned to speak with Tars Tarkas and the Jed, or chieftain, of this particular tribe of Tharks, Lorcas Tomo. At chapter 12 clarifies John Carter's peculiar status among the Tharks. He's actually a chief, because he inherited the property and retinue of the Tharks he has killed. But he's also still a prisoner, whose final fate would be decided by Tal Hagis, the Jeddak, or ultimate leader of the Tharks, when the group we are following gets back to their home territory. Now, after reading this chapter, Angela told me she feels a bit sorry for Lorcas Tomal and Tars Tarkas, because by their own standards, they are treating John Carter fairly. But it's pretty obvious that he'll soon be using his relative freedom within the Thark community to escape from them entirely and take Dasia Thoris, a valuable prisoner, with him. The poor green guys cannot catch a break. Another interesting moment in the chapter comes when John Carter is examining some of the old murals on the inside walls of the building into which he is now living. Burroughs has created a warlike and violent culture because he's going to use this to bring his hero into a series of exciting adventures. But he doesn't do that casually. He hints that before the atmosphere and oceans began to die, Mars was a planet of peace, culture, and learning. And that brings both a sense of what has been lost and a sense of what one day might be regained. On Mars, one may fight for one's own life, but there's always a greater cause as well. That's it for now. Once again, my name is Tim DeForest. Please visit my blog at Comics, Old Time Radio, and other cool stuff. You'll also be able to find links to my Amazon.com author page there. Thank you for listening. We'll be back with another mini podcast soon. And keep an ear out also for our full-length episodes.